Go to Romans, the book of Romans, if you have your Bibles with you. We'll read from the chapter 7 of Romans, starting at verse 15. You ready? Good. Let us read this words in Scripture. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I found it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from the body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. Let us pray. God, we ask God that you help us at this moment to hear your words and to hear the scripture in a matter that will be feeding our soul, be feeding our spirit. We ask for your encouragement as we deal with these words, because we need to know, God, what is behind the scripture. What is it that you are doing for us, even as we do not understand, or even as we don't see it all the time? Help us, God, to understand where you're coming from, what you want with us. And not only that, but help us to not only see ourselves in your light, but help others to see what you're about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, the title of our message this morning, I don't know if you read it on the bulletin, but it can be a little misleading. I do not want to have any confusion about what I mean. I want to set the record straight here. I am not trying to put down anyone with this statement, nor am I trying to say that we are patients of mental illness. It is not my intent, okay? We're not calling ourselves crazy or anything. But I do think that there is a difference for the Christian. There is, we are different in Christ, and it's hard sometimes to explain it, because our experience informs us, tries to inform us differently. I'll try to explain what Paul's conundrum is here. And I had to look that word up, by the way, that word conundrum, because I know that I didn't know it. But it is a conundrum. It is difficult to relate to what is going on in our lives. But this statement in this passage sets things up for what I'm trying to communicate and what we've been trying to work on the last weeks. Now, Paul seems to have had a time to think about faith. I believe that Paul took the time to figure out his theology and what it meant in light of what his experience informed him. Perhaps you remember that Paul had an encounter with Christ on the way to Damascus, and many people say that he was thrown from the horse, right? Right? It doesn't say that in Scripture, but sometimes a lot of people, especially with the Hispanic community, think that he was on the horse. I don't know why, but anyway, the fact is that he was on the floor. He was floored by the presence of God. And I wonder what was his experience like. And I wonder why he said after a while, okay, I need to go to Egypt and take 3 years off. He took time away from the people, away from the ministry, away from witnessing to folks. Time to work out in his own mind and self, what did it mean? What did it mean for him to see this Christ talking with him and asking him, why are you against me? Now, I think that he's evaluating his past life and putting it in against the background of his experience with Christ. And I have to repeat again. You see, Paul takes time to do this. Have you taken time? Have you taken time to evaluate your life? Have you taken even a few minutes to consider life BC, right? Before Christ? And life after, but I do understand now that a lot of you folks have been in church for a long, long, long time. And it's hard to think back at a time BC, right? Before Christ. It's almost impossible, I know, because my mom has that experience. She said to Christ at the age of 5, you know. How in the world are you going to know what sin is all about at 5 years old, right? What was her experience like BC? But it's interesting that the fact that we had a life before Christ entered our experience does shape how we see God. Now, I said for us, some of us, it's very hard to do. I've spent most of my life in church, in Christian living, although I did have a time in my life that I thought I was Superman and I knew it all, and that I could, I needed something else. Because I thought that there was something else out there for me. And that's when I did experience a little bit of what is life without Christ. Life BC. I tell you, it's not fun. It is not fun to think that you have it right and that you're doing the right thing, but be completely deceived. But I think that Paul is trying to help us through his meditation, through his reflection, through what he had gone through. He's trying to help us to understand our state in the eyes of God. And I believe that he speaks of the reality of our experience, of that experience that is over all humanity, that you and I share. The reality that what we want to do is not what we end up doing. You see, he repeats it several times, right? I don't know what's going on, but that I know is right, and I know is good, and I want to do, I end up not doing. What's happening in our lives when that goes on? That we want to do what is good, but sometimes we fail. So I think that that's what Paul did. He took time off to work out his theology, to work out what this meant in his new life. And even though his life B.C., as far as he was concerned, was a life that was respectable, a life dedicated to God, still, with all that faithfulness, he was doing what was wrong. So there he goes, and he speaks about this conflict inside. He speaks about what's happening in here, and he's troubled. I believe whether you're a Jew or a Greek or an American or the various versions of Mexican, Italian, Irish, German, Puerto Rican, African American, or from the Caribbean, it doesn't matter where you're from or from what country you're from. Regardless of the version that you are, we all can probably testify to the fact that we struggle with doing good. Of course, that is if we're in the path of truth, right? Because I can tell you, if you're not in the path of truth, you don't care. You don't really care whether you've done good or bad. All you care is about yourself, whether you've benefited or not. But I don't think that's what happens with us. We do care. There's a reason why we do care. And that's because the Spirit of God is doing something in our lives. It's present. And it's calling us. And it's saying, I want this relationship to be true. So I make that distinction that some people are in the path of truth and some people could care less, really. Because it is true that something happens when we come and cry, and we become part of Christ. Now, for those who are in the path of truth, and I would consider most of you, if not all, in that path, then what happens? And that's why I say is this is something like schizophrenia, right? There goes that word, of course. What is schizophrenia? Yeah, I went through a process. I tried to look what that was up. You know, but one of the things that we all know about schizophrenia, the most popular of the symptoms, is that people hear voices, right? But they hear voices, and those voices are telling them to do something that is not necessarily all that good. And I wonder if that's part of our experience. That there are voices in our conscience that are saying, nah, you don't really want to do that. Schizophrenia. Now we know very well that that is a health condition. It is it's one of those things that is happening in our culture even more and more, and it happened forever. And it so happens also that when treated, guess what happens with that schizophrenia? Oh, something starts to go away. It starts to subside. Those voices start to subside. And I wonder if that's what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. And what Scripture can do for us in our lives is to be that healing tonic that we need to deal with our issue of our sin. With the right medications, people seem to improve in their lives. You know, those voices that tend to tell us to do those illogical things, and sometimes even tragic things, become extinct.
So that's what I think that Paul is trying to do here, is to express to us that, you know, as far as we as Christians are concerned, we are different. We are different because we do not follow, we do not go with what is normally expected for folks. We are different because when we have these issues, when we have these voices, or whatever you want to call it, in our lives, sometimes that they appear constantly in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask this. Have you experienced that struggle in your life? Have you experienced that fight? Paul calls it a war. Now, some interpretations of Scripture say, of this passage, say that he's talking about Paul before Christ. He's talking about Paul before he had the influence of the Holy Spirit. And there's many of the theologians that agree that, you know, he is talking about an experience before his conversion. But there's also other theologians that seem to agree that he's talking about the after Paul. The Paul after his conversion, where this man is talking about him before understanding what Christ was all about, and some people say that he's talking about himself when he converted. I tend to lean towards the latter. I tend to lean towards that man who has received Christ in his life, and he still struggles. He still sees that there's something wrong. And that's why he's trying to explain to us. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. This is quite a statement coming from Paul. Now, don't you think that he should have had it done down somehow? That he should have been an expert? I mean, he was an older man when he met Christ. He already had a lot of experience in his life. He had been already taught about God, and he knew about all these things. And still he was struggling. He should have been trained by then, right? But he surprises us by stating that there is a battle of the wills within. Will I do what is right, or will I succumb to my own sin? It's like a never-ending story. It's like something that is still there all the time. I'll tell you how Willie Nelson puts it. He writes in a lyrics and record called Band of Brothers. It's been that way since the get-go. It's been that way since the get-go. It's been that way since the get-go. Boy, it's always been that way. The woman took the apple, and the man who took had to take a bite. Anything that good, God knows, just had to be right. They woke up thinking with a big headache, got done in by the slippery snake. The man and the woman just lived a little while, and then they died. It's been that way since the get-go. It's been that way since the get-go. It seems like there's always that presence, right, of that which is fighting within us. See, human reality, it's a human reality. It's a reality that we all deal with. And there's another fellow that I like to read. His name is Bob Utley. And he says, as I read this passage, I experientially feel the pain of Paul as he describes the daily conflict of our two natures. Believers have been freed from their fallen natures, but God help us, we continue to yield to its lure. It is often surprisingly true that the intense spiritual warfare begins after salvation. Notice that. The intense spiritual warfare begins after salvation. He says, maturity is a tension-filled daily fellowship with the triune God and a daily conflict with evil. But wait a minute. Is it not the end? This is not the end of the matter, yes? Because Paul recognizes that battle within, between the law of God and the inner person and the law of the members of the body. And we read that, right? The law of the inner man and the law of the members of the body. And they are both waging war against the law of the mind. I don't know where he gets all these laws, but it seems like it's straight. It seems like there are things that we are engaged in that are things that we cannot control. The law of the members of the body, the law of the inner person, the law of the mind. And those things are battling, and somehow, through that law of the mind, schizophrenia, making him a prisoner of law of the sin, making him a prisoner of law of sin. All these laws are acting together all the time. And Paul says, wretched man that I am. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? When you hear someone said, ah! I don't know about you, but when I read this statement, I hear a lot of frustration. Don't you? In those words. I hear a lot of frustration, like it was like, ah! I don't want to deal with this. Wretched man that I am. Judith, my wife, is here. She can tell you. She's the one that knows me probably the best. Sometimes, only sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I find myself saying to myself, ah! Why do you have to do that? And it so happens, and please, maybe you'll agree with me, that this struggle is in relationships. And it expresses itself with those who are closer to us. And sometimes we need to explode, right? Sometimes we need an outlet. Oh! Maybe that is good for our soul. Wretched man than I am. Paul didn't have that, from what I understand, tradition. He wasn't married, so he didn't have someone to blow up with. Who will rescue me? Who will rescue me from this body of death? I don't want to hurt my mom. I don't want to hurt my dad. I don't want to hurt my kids. I don't want to hurt my friends. But sometimes I do things that do hurt them. Even not knowing. Ah! Who will rescue me from this body of death? The next sentence says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is how Willie Nelson says it too. He told the truth and they hung him up to die, the Son of God who created you and I. He said it in the good book, in letters in red, but we keep on forgetting everything that he said. Jesus Christ hung up on the cross for you and I. You see, yes, we struggle. Yes, you see, sometimes we are hearing these voices. Maybe you should do this. Or actually, I think it's more of impulses. I don't think we make conscious decisions about that. But thank be to God for Jesus Christ. Amen. In Him, we have salvation. In Him, we have what we need. In Him, all the laws that are a struggle are dead. And the law of love then can live within us. Dear God, I know it's not necessarily easy to talk about our realities and our experiences. But it is true that there is a struggle in our lives. And we ask you, God, that you may help us to understand as we walk in this journey more and more what you are doing for us. How your presence, Lord, can be soothing for our struggle. And not only that, but overcome all the law of evil and the law of sin that can come across for us. May I, Lord, I ask that your Spirit be within us. Powerful. Powerful, so that we may win this struggle and have victory for your glory. And we may understand that you are present to give us life and life eternal. Thank you, God. Amen.